Turn in your Bible, please, to Acts chapter 13. The book of Acts chapter 13. And we want to look at a scripture too here. Matter of fact, we're going to the Old Testament. And we are going back over in some of the areas we've been in before. And matter of fact, we'll be in 1 Samuel tonight. But I want us to look in chapter 13 and look at these thoughts together. When you find your place, stand and we'll read chapter 13 of the book of Acts and down to verse number 16. We'll go down there. Paul now is beginning to speak. And it said, "Then Paul stood up." Amen. So you're standing with Paul tonight, all right? "Then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand said, 'Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience.'" In other words, listen, give ear. "The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. And with an high arm brought he them out of it. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness." In other words, God said he put up with them for 40 years. That's basically what he's saying. Amen. They weren't in the will of God. That's another one of them thoughts of what we was talking about last week. But God put up with them. Verse 19, "And when he had destroyed 7 nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. And after that, he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet." You remember we talked about Samuel last week? We'll be on talking about Samuel again tonight. Verse 21, "And afterward, they desired a king." We talked about that last week as well. "And God gave unto them Saul, the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him," now God removed him, we'll see that tonight, "he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony, and said, 'I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will.'" Amen. Notice verse 23. "Of this man's seed," who? David's, "hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus." Praise God. Now, you give us the whole thing. You can be seated. And let's pray together. Father, give us wisdom and understanding tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of the Word of God. Now, I pray you might put it in our mind to be comprehended. And I pray, God, we get something tonight, be strengthened and encouraged. And we'll thank you, Lord, for what you're going to accomplish. May we pick up something that'll help us in this walk of life. Lord, we realize that we're nothing and we need you. And we can be nothing without you. And Lord, it's by your hand and by your might and by your strength. As one in the Word said, not by a might, but not by our might, but by the strength and the power of the Spirit of God. And Lord, Paul said his preaching was through the demonstration of the power of God. And I pray tonight, Lord, that the will of God would be performed. May you have your will and your way in everything that's done and said. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, you can leave the book of Acts, please. I want to read that to show you what God said about David, and keep that thought in your mind, that he was a man after God's own heart to do what? All the will. Do you see that? "That he which shall fulfill all my will." That's what he did. Now turn into 1 Samuel, and we're going into 1 Samuel, and we're going to resume back where we were last week, but we're on a different subject, a different thought. Chapter 9. We're going to chapter 9. Last week we talked about how that the Israelites are a perfect example of being in the permissive will of God. Amen. Here when they sought for a king. And God allowed them to have that. It wasn't the will of God, but that's what they did. So I want us to turn tonight to chapter 9. We're going to deal with the king. We had dropped off where he was chosen. And we're going to the 9th chapter. We're going to come through a few chapters here and pick up a few verses and comment them. We're just going to take off and see what God can give us tonight out of the Word of God. Chapter 9, verse 1. The Bible said, "Now there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish," K-I-S-H. Over there in Acts it said C-I-S-C. That's the difference between the Hebrew and the Greek. It goes back that way. And it said, "the son of Abiel, the son of Zior, the son of Becherah, the son of Appiah, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. Now that's the dad or the father. We'll find it. He was that. There was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish. And so we'll find he was a mighty man of power. But in verse number 2 it said, and he had a son whose name was Saul. Now notice what it said about Saul. A choice young man and a goodly. Now he was a goodly man according to the Word of God here. He got out of line a few times, did he not? Amen. And God had to take him out because he got out of line. He said he's a good and goodly. And there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. For his shoulders, or from his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. In other words, he was a choice. One of the prime choices. You'd look at that, and when man looks at something, that's what they like. They like to pick somebody that's choice. Amen. When you're looking for a quarterback, you don't look for somebody weighs 110 pounds and looks like got the body of what is that, Popeye's girlfriend? What's her name? Olive oil. Amen. You understand? You look for somebody that's strong. Is that right? So that's what man chose. Man says this is what we're going to do. Of course, God knew that's what He allowed him. God picked him out for him. And so, he's the choice. God has said, that this is whom I'm going to give you. You remember last week that Samuel told the people of God what would happen if they got a king. That their sons and their daughters, remember that? I want you to keep this in your mind. Their sons and daughters would become slaves to them. Their land would be taken over. They'd be ruled by man. God never intended for man to be ruled by man. God's order is for him to rule. That God be God's. And God knows when you put man in charge, you're going to step down the notch of godliness and holiness, and you're going to come down the ladder. And when man is ruling man, which is what we're having today, amen, and God's not in charge, you know what happens? You begin to follow after man. And God did not have intended for that to happen. But so we'll go on a little bit. I want you to slide over to verse 15 of that same chapter, chapter 9. And we're going to read some portions and put these together and try to get us something tonight that will help us, to strengthen us, to encourage us. And may I challenge you tonight to keep on keeping on and have a desire for God more than you've ever had, and especially more when you leave tonight than you did when you come in. Verse 15 said, now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear a day before Saul came, saying, now, God spoke the day before Saul is coming on the scene here. You read that, you'll find out what's happened in the middle of that. And God, here in this chapter, you'll find that God called the seers, and they were prophets, or the prophets are called seers. This chapter declares that and defines that, and we've been on that. Verse 16, he said, tomorrow about this time, I will send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin. Isn't it amazing how that God can send people and put... sometimes you think it, you say, boy, isn't that wonderful, nice that things just happen like that? You'll go to the grocery store, and guess what? You'll find somebody or see somebody you haven't seen in a long time. Just a couple of weeks ago, I'd mentioned to somebody, I said, I haven't seen a certain person, I haven't seen them in years, and I would love to see them again. I would love to. And I really told that person, I said, I really love to. Did you know within 2 weeks, I come in contact with that person and had a long conversation. It's not just a coincidence, folks, that we come in contact with people. God knows who to put in front of us that needs some help. And if we'll follow the will of God, God will give us somebody to speak to that will listen to us. Amen. Now, if you don't follow God, the devil will give you somebody that you don't need to speak to. Amen. But let's go in verse 16. He said, tomorrow about this time, I will send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin. This is the providence of God. And thou shalt anoint him to be the captain over my people Israel, that he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines. For I have looked upon my people because their cry has come unto me. Now what's their cry? Give us a king. Give us a king. They wanted a king. And God said, what they've done is rejected me. Now, we may read this tonight. If I don't, I believe I read it last week in one of the places, but I believe we're going to get on it again tonight in some of the scriptures that I want to look at. But the reason that God got disturbed because he was asking for a king is because God was already their king, and what they're saying is we want a man for a king, and we're rejecting God. We don't want him over us anymore. That's what they were saying, and that's why God was disturbed. Amen. Now, beloved, today we need the Lord over us. Verse 17, and when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said unto him, behold, the man whom I spake to thee of. You ought to look at your concordance when you get home tonight and look up them words, behold the man. Amen. It's right here. There's some places in the Scriptures. You remember spoken of Jesus, behold the man. Amen. And that's how I study, and I see little phrases like that, and I just thought I'd throw that in to you. Behold the man whom I spake to thee of, this same shall reign over my people. And so we'll find that God has told him what to do. But go down to verse number 21 in chapter 9. And so notice what it said. And Saul answered and said, am not I a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel? Now what I want to point out here tonight, God knows how to take the weak things of this world and how to raise them up. Now we realize today that Saul wasn't the best choice for man, but God can take anybody. Amen. You don't have to be high on the totem pole to get somewhere. Right? Amen. You can be where God wants you to be and God will raise you up. I look at men like Joseph and some of those that God has raised up. Amen. I sometimes look and see how I look like I had the wrong end of the stick a few times, and I've watched God change things. I remember one time on the job, and I'll mention this on a public job. They were fixing to make a change in the business I was in, the work I was in. And I was in authority, and we had somebody that didn't like it, and he was over that, and he said, you take too much on you, in a sense. And I was working for some folks here in Clarksville, some in South Carolina, and at the same time, some in New York. Now, all those, and I answered to more people in New York than I did to anybody on the telephone. And they could really, any of them could have kicked me out in just a moment. And you understand what I'm saying when you got companies like that, and I was in the place of position. And they decided what they're going to do is, I'm a preacher. Now, they didn't tell me this, because they'd discriminate, and they knowed I'd get them, amen, for that. But they said, what we're going to do is we're going to get somebody else to help you. And we're going to let them learn your job. And they said, we want everybody to know what you're doing, and everybody needs to have a backup. That was their excuse. So they got me in a room, and we sat down there, and the fellas from New York come down to tell me the change is going to be made. And one of them looked at me and he said, well, Dennis, we know that you're a preacher. And you know yourself, if a church called you away off somewhere, you would probably take it, wouldn't you? And I said, well, if the Lord's in it, yes, I would. And they said, well, that's what we're afraid of. We're afraid that if we don't get somebody that knows your job, you're going to just take off on us. And I said, I've been here a long time. And they said, yeah, but you could take off. Yes, I could. I'm not going to make you no promises. I haven't left. As a matter of fact, I'm still at the same church. The business is shut down. And 2 weeks later, after they gave me that ultimatum, that they were going to put somebody with me as my co-equal, I got a phone call from New York, and the man said to me, he said, Dennis said Friday's going to be my last job with the company, or last day with the company. I said, why? He said, I got a better opportunity two blocks down the street here. And I said, you're not a preacher. He said, no, far from it. I said, well, what happened? Here you are. Going to take me and give me somebody, and now you've done, who's going to know your job? He said, I don't worry about it no more, it's theirs. Now, I want to tell you what, God knows how. So what they were going to do is move in this and take over. And they had this fella come in to do it. And he is going to do all the things. And they told me on Monday, said, we're going to come in and we're going to take that and we're going to establish things and we're going to give you your, going to kind of demote me. and we're going to be on equal, you know, and drop me down and raise somebody up equal to me. And so I said, all right, the Lord's going to do what He's going to do. And Sunday afternoon, my secretary called me and said, Dennis? I said, yes. He said, called that man's name, said, he dropped over dead this morning. The one that was going to change me out on Monday. Make a switch. They never made the change. Amen. The handwriting gets on the wall. So now God knows what He's doing. And I said all that not to bring recognition to something I have, but I've experienced some of this stuff. That's exactly what happened to Joseph and men like that. And it's happened to you many times in life. You watch God move things around that look like was going to be detrimental to you. It's going to be a hurt to you. And you watch God change in His providence and keep you where He wants you to be. Now, God knows how to sit you down, and God knows how to raise you up. Amen. I like for Him to raise me up, but I hate them times sometimes when He sits me down, and He's done a few of them things in days past. Amen. I've got the short end of the stick a few times, and I deserved it, every bit of it. And it didn't feel good. So I like it when God's working, so I want to stay where God wants me to be so that I'll stay in the right hand of the fellowship of God. But notice verse 21 again. And Saul answered and said, am I not a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribe of Israel, and my family the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Wherefore then speakest thou so to me? Hey, we're not worthy of this. Hey, we're nobodies. Now let's go down. We're going to look at some more of this tonight if we have time. I just like to take the Scriptures and look at these little things, and they, to me, give more help to me by just looking and applying the Scriptures to my heart and get a working knowledge of the Scriptures. Chapter 10, please, verse 1. Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over His inheritance? What I want to point out here is the Lord, through this prophet and also the priest Samuel, has anointed him to be king. We're going to talk about that anointing in just a little bit, but I'm not going to spend time with it right now. Now go down to verse 17. Now Samuel has anointed Saul. Saul's now ready to take over the throne at the appointed hour. He's ready now to get it going. Verse number 17, and Samuel called the people together unto the Lord to Mizpah. So now what he's fixing to do is he's fixing to challenge the people and tell them what God has done. He said, and said unto the children of Israel, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought up Israel out of Egypt and delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians. Isn't it amazing how many times in this Old Testament you'll find how that God reminds His people that He has brought them out of Egyptian bondage? Amen. God constantly reminds them from Genesis to Malachi, and then in the New Testament He does it again. I have brought you out. God don't want you to forget what He's done for you. Then He'll remind us. Now, God has reached out and picked you up, and God don't want you to forget that He's delivered you out of the pits of hell and redeemed you and saved you. God don't want you to ever forget it, and God will not let you forget. Have you ever made a mistake and your wife won't let you forget it? Have you ever made a mistake and your husband won't let you forget it? They remember it 20 years. And when you think it's all said and done, it ain't over. I mean, and it's all over. If your wife don't say it, or your husband don't say it, your kids will. And the grandkids that wasn't even around then have been told, and they'll remind you. Amen. And them people down on the job will remind. And you just can't seem to forget them. But God don't want you to forget that you've been redeemed. And why you're here tonight. Now, going on a little bit. He said, out of the hand of all the kingdoms and of them that oppressed you, God said, I delivered you out of all of that. Verse 19. And ye have this day what? Rejected your God. You've rejected your God, who Himself saved you out of all your adversities and your tribulations. And ye have said unto Him, nay, but set a king over us. Now therefore present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and by your thousands. He said, now you get in your own tribes, we want to get there. We're going to do what God, what you've asked God to do. He's going to do it for you. Now let's skip over a little bit to chapter 12. When we get over to chapter 12, and I'm just kind of leading up to let you see some other things that I want to look at tonight. In chapter 12, verse 12, it says this, "And when you saw that Nahash, the king of the children of Ammon," chapter 12, verse 12, "came against you, you said unto me, Nay, but a king shall reign over us when the Lord your God was your king." What he's saying? You already had a king, but you rejected the Lord, and what you said is, we want a king over us. You're saying you don't want God over you no longer. He is the king. Amen. And many of us would like that today. We don't want nothing, no authority figure over us. Children don't like authority figures. That's why they rebel against mom and daddy. Workers on the job don't like authority figure. I just noticed in the news, I didn't get to hear much of it, didn't stay with it, didn't have time, but I noticed some businesses, some company is taking out the boss situation in it, and now they're just going to be working. Some company, you might have saw that in the news today, they're going to take out the overseers. And you know what? When you take the parents out of the home, and you take the overseers out of the job and the preachers out of the pulpit, you ain't got much left.
Amen.
Praise God. One of these days, they won't operate the church without a preacher. Most of them are already doing it anyhow.
Amen.
Isn't that mean? But anyhow, chapter number 12 and verse number 13. "Now therefore, behold, the king whom you have chosen and whom you have desired, and behold, the Lord has set a king over you. If you will fear the Lord and serve Him and obey His voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God." So some of you may have sat here and asked the question, well, what about our democracy we've got in America? We've got a president over us. And if we've got a president over us, isn't that strange? Isn't that like a king? Well, yes, it is, in a sense. But God has given us something in America, and the same thing goes to you and me as He told the Israelites. God said this, "You keep My commandments, obey Me, and recognize Me, then you and the king will be blessed." Amen. And so I say that tonight to every child of God in America. Amen. Don't bow to the gods of the world, and don't bow to the religious systems. Don't bow to the politicians, but bow to the Lord God Almighty. And let this book right here be your constitution, amen, your bylaws, everything, amen. Somebody said, live under the Constitution. You better live under the Bible.
Amen.
Here's so much about that, and I'm not anti-constitutional. Amen. Folks are talking about the amendments and all the rights that we have and the rights that we're losing and the rights that we don't have. Let me tell you something. Every man and woman, boy and girl, every person that breathes the air of God should let the Bible be the final authority in their life and nothing else.
Amen. Right.
And sometimes this Bible right here will go against the Constitution. Huh? Amen, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. I sometimes catch myself. I had a fella get in the car with me and we'd go visiting. And every once in a while, he'd be driving down the road, he'd be going, and he'd go, and I'd go, "What you doing?" He'd drive down a little bit further, he'd go. I said, he said, "I seen a flag." Every flag he saw, he stopped and saluted it. He got up in the church one night and excited and grabbed the American flag, run over there and boom, punched a hole in the ceiling in the church. He liked the flag. Amen. I like the flag too. I still like to see Old Glory blowing in the breeze. It represents a country that I got saved in, that I heard the gospel in, and I appreciate America. But I want to tell you something right here. Brother, I want to wave the glory of the Lamb of God right here. Here's my banner. Amen. Here's my flag. Are you with me? I said, "Preacher, you kind of off on a deep end tonight. Hey, leave me alone. I'm happy out here."
Amen.
Praise God. All right. Now, notice something. Go to chapter 13. And we're following the story of Saul. We don't have time to tell everything about Saul. Get in verse 8, and it said, "And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came now to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, "Bring hither a burnt offering to me, and peace offerings." And he offered the burnt offering. Now who done that? Saul. Amen. And he said, and he tarried there according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not, see. Samuel was not there. Verse 10, and it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of the offering, the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. Boy, I tell you, this is about the time you get in trouble, the preacher shows up. Amen. And Saul went out to meet him that he might salute him. And Samuel was showing up, the man of God. And Saul, now he thought he is doing God's service. He come running out there and I'm going to salute him. Guess what I've just done? I've offered some burnt offerings. And he had took on himself a little job. And brother, what happens sometimes when we get in positions, we'll forget God and we'll forget this book. Now look at what happened in verse number 11. You think Samuel was pleased? And Samuel said, "What hast thou done?" That ain't what I think Saul wanted to hear. "What have you done?" Amen. And so it said, "What hast thou done?" And Saul said, "Because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Mishmash. Therefore, said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me into Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering." Now, some of y'all still sitting there right now saying, "What's wrong with him offering a burnt offering?" Let's read on. And Samuel said to Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever." But he said, "But now thy kingdom shall not continue." He said, "Hey, your kingdom's not going to continue. You've done something wrong. The Lord has thought him a man after his own heart." Did you hear that? What did I read over in Acts a while ago, chapter 13? David was a man after what? God's own heart. And he said, God is looking for somebody, a man that is after his own heart. "And the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." What happened? Saul had no business. He is a king. The king's job was not to offer sacrifice. It was the priest's job to offer a sacrifice. And he took himself and put himself in a place he is not to put himself into. And God said, "Because you've done that, your kingdom's not going to continue. Something's going to happen." Now Saul got a little bit of power. Now you remember he was a Benjamite. And do you remember just a little earlier he's done said to us, we're a nobody. We're not much. And he was even amazed that he could be the king and being a nobody. Understand that? But he has raised himself in power and stepped and took over some places he shouldn't take over. Now let's slide over to the 15th chapter. By the way, we're not going through the whole book of 1 Samuel. We're going to deal with chapter 15 and get a little bit out of 16, and we're going to go home to make you feel better. We're going to chapter 15 now. When we get to chapter 15, we're going to find some things that have taken place and some things that we like to see. And I'm going to skip down even in that chapter. You ought to read that chapter when you get home. But go to verse 20. "And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord." Now what's he done? He went back up there and he's supposed to go get Amalek. He's supposed to kill Amalek. He's supposed to take no spoil. He's supposed to come back with nothing, but he's to leave devastation wherever he went. He's to kill everything. Take nothing for himself. And he goes up there, and he comes back, and look what he says in verse 20. "And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea," and he's telling him, "Look, I've obeyed." He said, "Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord." I mean, he's obeyed the voice of the Lord. And he said, "And have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites." That ain't what God said. He said destroy, but he didn't say get the king and bring him back. Amen. Amen. And so, look at verse 14, going back up there. Here's what got Samuel's attention. It said in verse 14, and Samuel said, "What meaneth then the bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear?" Amen. Why, listen, Saul, if you're supposed to do what God said to do, there wouldn't be no sheep a-bleating and no cows a-bawling. Amen. You wouldn't hear nothing. Amen. Now look down in verse number 21. "But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal." Here is the danger God was looking for and knew was going to happen when the people are going to choose themselves a king. What was it? That the king is going to take on himself some things and place himself kind of like God. And now he's making the decisions. Isn't that what happens to government? We're seeing it every day of our life. It's been going on for ages. And so people don't listen to God. God's not the final authority. We let man be the final authority. Did you know most people are more afraid of the president and the politicians in this country than they are God Almighty Himself? Amen. Did you know they fear the things around them more than they fear God? People will take a stand and they'll stand with the government and stand with the laws of the land even when they're against the things of God simply because they do not fear. Why would somebody stand up and say, "I'm for abortion," when they know good and well God is against abortion? You know why? It's because they've got the fear of man in their heart and they do not want to conform to God. And that goes in any law. Right? Exactly why. Look at verse 22. "And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." And then he goes on to tell him something else. He said, "For rebellion," and that's what's happened to King Saul. "For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected," notice this, "the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." And Saul said unto Samuel, "I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice." Now, it's over. God's through with Saul. God's rejected you, Saul. You've took it on yourself. You've done the wrong things. Now your kingdom's over. And you'll find out that's so. Chapter 16. "And the Lord said unto Samuel, How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel?" Why, it tore people up. Amen. "Fill thine horn with oil and go, I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons." Now, guess what? Samuel heads off down to Jesse's house. Look with me, please, in verse number 4. "And Samuel did that which the Lord spake and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, Comest thou peaceably?" Let me tell you something. This man of God had power. Every man of God ought to have power. We've lost that in America. That bothers me tonight that people do not respect and fear the man of God. I remember as a boy, I was afraid of the man of God. I wasn't afraid he was going to hurt me. They were just something special about him. Now, brother, it's hands off. Touch not mine anointed. Do my prophets no harm. That's what God says. And when I was a boy, there's a preacher, brother, I wanted to watch what I said and did. I was taught that way. But today, that's over. Now, we preachers may have brought it on ourselves. But I'm here to tell you tonight, this man was feared. Verse 5, "And he said, Peaceably, I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves. Set yourself apart. And come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to sacrifice." He sanctified them. He set them all apart. Now, you look at this. And he said in verse 6, "And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab." He's the firstborn. There's a law of the firstborn. But let me remind you, that don't always mean you get top notch with God. I want to tell you tonight that Isaac was picked over Ishmael. Ishmael was the firstborn of Abraham, if you will. He was a son of the earthly woman, so to speak, not of Sarai, but he still was the firstborn. I find in the Word of God that Jacob was picked over Esau. I read in the Word of God that Joseph was recognized over the firstborn. I go on. I find that David nor Solomon, neither one, were firstborns. You hear me? And so God don't have to go the lineage that He says in the Word of God about to be in the firstborn. There's a law of the firstborn. I preached a message on that one time. And we need to get back to it again. Brother, the firstborn. How many firstborns do we have in this building? Amen. There's the privileges of the firstborn. Amen. And we'll see it. And it's special. But now, when Samuel came to Eliab, he looks at Eliab, he said, surely, I'm sure he looked like he's a robust fella. And he just looked like he's going to pay because look at verse 7, it said, but the Lord said, Samuel, look not on his countenance or on his height of his stature. He must have been a pretty good sized fella. Because I have refused him. Amen. And Samuel's had to say, surely it's going to be Jesse's firstborn that's going to become the king. God said, ain't going to be. Samuel, no sir, you can't get him. Now, here's what God said, and here's that famous scripture we get so many times. For the Lord seeth not as a man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Amen. Sometimes what we think is right can be wrong. And what we think sometimes can be wrong can be right. It's got to be measured by the Word of God. Now, he went to him. In verse number 8, Jesse called Abinadab, made him pass before Samuel, and he said, neither hath he chosen him, or hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shammah come and pass, and neither had the Lord chosen him, or this. And then we find the fourth, and Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. Went through seven sons. And Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? Well, look here. There remaineth yet the youngest. Behold, he keepeth sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. Now, these seven sons had just been sanctified. But if you'll go out there and find something, they went out there and got David and brought him back, and it don't say nothing about sanctifying David. Why? David was already sanctified. He'd been out there having the Lord on his mind and heart. And brother, he is already ready. You understand that? Oh, thank God. I look at this. Well, did you know that's eight sons? David being the eighth son is a new beginning. He's starting over the kingship. Now, in verse number 10, and he sent and brought him in. Now, he was ruddy and with all of a beautiful countenance, he's handsome, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Amen. A scroniest looking thing, probably the sissiest looking of the whole crowd. But he was the man. Verse number 13, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of the brethren. Now, I want to throw this in before I quit. Boy, there's a lot more to preach here. But I want to throw this. Would you take your Bible, hold your place there. Let's turn over to Exodus chapter 30. Exodus chapter 30. Now, I can see, and now I've already went across it one time. I just didn't say nothing about it. You remember in an earlier portion that Samuel has anointed Saul. He poured the oil on his head. Now, you said, boy, we ought to just pour oil on somebody then. That's not the way it was in the Bible. Let's look at chapter 30 of the book of Exodus. And let's go down and look at a certain scripture. Let's go down to verse number 22. Exodus chapter 30 and verse 22. Let's take a little time and look at this. It said, "Moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take thou also unto the principal spices. Take unto thee principal spices." Here they are. "Of pure myrrh, 500 shekels, and a sweet cinnamon, half so much, even 250 shekels. And a sweet calamus, 250 shekels, and of cassia, 500 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, and of oil olive, an hin." Now, I don't know whether you caught that or not, but let's go back there and count them with me. Would you do it? First of all, they took pure myrrh, number one. Sweet cinnamon, number two. Calamus, number three. Cassia, number four. And then the oil, number five. Olive oil. Five is a number of grace. Somebody don't look at grace in the Old Testament and don't think it's there, but when He poured that oil, that's the grace of God. Type of the Holy Spirit of God that God anoints you and me with and puts on us. And brother, we are anointed with God's grace to do the work of God. And brother, when God anoints them, that's what they're set out to be and set apart. And so David had that grace poured on him. Sure did. Had that grace poured on him. Now I'm going to close with this tonight. You may have never had God to do anything with you. I laid awake for about an hour last night as God was speaking to me about this. Not this message, but on this I'm fixing to mention. And I'm just thinking and sitting there and just letting my mind be concerned. Reckon what God could have done with me, and reckon what God could have done with you if we had been totally 100% sold out to Him from our youth. No telling. I say to you young boys and young ladies in here tonight, there's nothing wrong with you at your age filling your heart with the Word of God. There's nothing wrong with learning all you can learn about God. Caleb, you're fixing to go to college and you're fixing to learn all you can get of that book. You put in all that. Your flesh ain't going to like it. Some of your friends won't like it. And you may end up having family that won't like it, but I want to tell you tonight, get all the Bible and book learning of the Scriptures in your mind and soul. You little boys and girls that's in grammar school, some of you in, all the others in, what is it? Not high school, but, what is somebody said it? Middle school. Didn't have none like that when I was a kid. We just went to school. You was in grammar school or high school. That's all we was. Amen. But all them schools you go to, learn all you can learn from the knowledge you can get to build your brain to understand. But cram your soul with the Word of God while you're young. And do all you can do for God now. And practice that. Your flesh ain't going to like it, and you're going to have to make it just fall in love with Jesus till you get to loving it. Amen. And go on with it. And I was thinking last night, what could God have done with me if I'd let Him have all of me? I can go back and see what God has done for me. I can talk about a lot of things that He has, and I can tell you some things He's doing for me today. But reckon what God could do with us today if we'd just let Him have full control. And imagine what God could still do with us tomorrow if we just let Him have control. You young folks, hey, you've got a chance better than I've got. I've done wasted too much time. I've done squandered too much of God's precious time. But you're young. Center your mind on God. Amen. And brother, I'll tell you what, here's a little boy that accomplished some things and went forward for God. Amen. Saul got the place he wanted to please the people, not please God. So God put him in another. Now you said, now preacher, David, I know David had a lot of problems and he sinned. You know what the difference between David and his sins and the difference between Saul and his sins were? David kept a short record. Saul sinned and kept a going and didn't care. When David sinned, he kept a short record and he said, God, forgive me. Deliver me from my blood guiltiness. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. You keep a short charge account with God. Keep confessed up. Amen. That's good advice to anybody. Keep a short... Yeah, you're going to sin. You said, preacher, when I get to be perfect, hey, you won't have, when you get to be perfect, you won't do a thing for the Lord but glorified, because you're going to be on the other side. And so it ain't perfect people that's winning people to God down here. It's just people who are humble and obedient. Amen. I could just hammer on that a little bit more, but we'll quit. How about that? Appreciate what we learned from God's Word tonight. Heads bowed and eyes closed. And take these characters and they be a blessing. They can be a help to you. God put them in here to help us. And challenging, trying to challenge you tonight to give your all to God. Live for God like you never have before. Time's running out, saints. Every day, make it count. Every day, make it count. Let's stand.